Evening. Father, we're grateful for the breath of life. We're grateful, Father, for friends, Lord God, and family in the body of Christ, Father. And Lord, in all that's going on right now in this world, in all that's going on around us, Father, we are thankful, Father, and we appreciate the fact that you are with your people, Lord, that you're strengthening your church, Lord, that you are for those, Lord, that walk with you, Father, that obey your voice, Lord. And so, Lord, right now, Father, as your children, as your sons, and as your daughters, Lord, we come before your throne. And, Lord, we with grateful hearts, Lord, just leave everything before you, Father, every situation, every concern, every care at your feet, Father. And we ask and pray, Lord, your kingdom come and your will be done. And, Lord, this evening, as we would spend some time in your word, Father, we ask and pray, Lord God, that you would open up your scriptures to us, Father, that you, your Holy Spirit that leads and guides us into all truth, that you would teach us, Father, from your word, that which you want us to know. Lord, I just get out of the way, Father, and I invite the free flow of your Spirit through me, acknowledging, Lord, there's nothing in me that's good except your Holy Spirit, Father, and to your Spirit I yield. And Father, we bind every demonic force and every demonic spirit, Lord God, and we do cast it out in Jesus' name, Lord, as we go forward. Amen. 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 Okay. So, this week, part two. Wait, did you catch your Bible? You gotta share. No, you can? Okay. Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. And, now last week we did the whole chapter of Mark, but I think we covered the first part decently, so we're gonna pick it up from verse 28. Okay, and one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." And the scribe said unto him, "Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is no other but He. And to love Him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." And no man after durst ask him any question. And Jesus answered and said, while he taught in the temple, "How say the scribes that Christ is the son of David? For David himself said by the Holy Ghost, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. David therefore himself calleth him Lord, and whence is he then his son?" And the common people heard him gladly, and said unto him, and he said unto them in his doctrine, "Beware of the scribes, which love to go in long clothing, and love salutations in the marketplace, and the chief seats in the synagogues, in the uppermost rooms at feasts, which devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. These shall receive greater damnation." And Jesus sat over against the treasury, and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, "Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than all they which have cast into the treasury. For they all did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living." Okay. Now, overlay this one again with Luke 17, where it says in 20 and 21, where Jesus was asked, you know, the kingdom of God, you know, he says, actually, let's flip there really quick. Keep this one in mind, Matthew, Mark, Luke. So Luke 17, but keep your finger where in Mark, and go Luke. Luke 17 and verse 20 says, "And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, Lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." Okay, so Jesus, you know, throughout the time that Jesus was in the earth, everybody was looking for some natural, external manifestation of God's kingdom in respect to something similar to what they had with David and Solomon, where they thought, okay, you know, here's the Romans, we're going to kick these guys out, and then we're going to have this natural kingdom here, and whoever the Messiah is will be the new king over this thing. So they had this whole expectation of how God would show up and how everything was going to be. And when Jesus showed up on the scene, you know, I mean, he's born, here he is, he's born in a manger, he's not born in, you know, he shows up, you know, he doesn't come in a palace, he doesn't come with a bunch of fanfare, he shows up, God brings him in a whole nother way. And then the whole time that he's here, they're like, okay, wait a second, you know, when are you going to set up this kingdom? When are you going to do things like this? And the point when he, now looking back in retrospect, we're like, oh, okay, what he was doing was establishing his kingdom inside of your heart. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man opens the door, you know, I'll come in. So it's like, so what he offers and what's the rock that's been growing and filling the whole earth is the kingdom of God within the hearts of any and everyone that will open themselves up to God and come through the doorway, which is Christ Jesus, into a direct connection with the Father. So the kingdom being within, see, okay, you have your outer person is the suit that you need to go through this life. And we've talked a lot about this, but what you have within is the true person of who you are. So your soul and your spirit, the eternal you, is within. So when the kingdom is within, the true you, the true person that you are, is either bowing in allegiance to the Spirit of God and being transformed more and more into his image, into his likeness, or it's in opposition to him. And though externally, you know, you might look a certain way and have a certain perception in the eyes of other people for this window of time while you're here in the earth, that they're truly inside, you're somebody that's, you know, rebelling against him and all of that. And then eternity reveals that for what it is. So, like, for example, in Sri Lanka recently, you know, that editor of the Sunday Leader that was killed, like, I mean, for him, you know, even when his article, he wrote an article before he died knowing that he was going to be killed. And in his article, he just, you know, part of his whole thing was, look, you know, I'm ready to meet my maker. And he, to the people that he knows killed him, writing to them, he just says, I wish the same for you. I mean, wow, you know, that's a strong way to leave this world. But for every person, ultimately, who you are will be, opinions aside, everything aside, it'll be brought into the light for all eternity. So it's just, you know, nobody can hide from that. Nobody can outspend that and buy their way out of it. Or nobody can hide, you know, get military to push it away or anything like that. Who we are, each person as an individual, is brought into the light of eternal truth and weighed when they're done with this life. And depending on whether their lives have been lined up with the Spirit of God, whether they've been covered by the blood of Jesus or not, will determine whether or not, you know, what their eternity looks like. So this life is a transitory period. This life is just a dressing room for all eternity, if you will. So that's why, too, you know, we're here. God has purpose for us being here. But this life is not the end all by any means. So that's why, too, when Jesus was here in this world, he's like, look, you know, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world yet forfeit his soul? What do you get if you get everything here, but when you have to leave, you miss the point of actually being here? So for us, you know, as God's people, you are among those that have woken up. Now it's not just kind of like that first point of, boy, just kind of half being in that fog when you just wake up, where you're like, okay, moping around the house a little bit, you're still kind of coming out of it. No, now you're God's people, their eyes are getting wide awake, they're getting well aware of the situation that we're living in and the times that we're in right now. That said, tonight we're in part two of our series of how now do we live. So we have to get down to some things, practically speaking, of, okay, now for the times that we're living in, now for the situations that we're surrounded by, how do we live and respond and react and be proactive in the world that we're in? Because like Jesus was in this world for, there's a transliteration in the Aramaic, which, like, a bitty time. Jesus was in this world for a small piece of time, and then he was gone. But while he was here, he lived a certain way. He responded a certain way. He was about his Father's business while he was here. So how then do we live in light of your redemption, your salvation? How do you walk this thing out? How do I walk this thing out? Okay. One thing that we keep in mind between all of this is that every single one of us is unique. Like the fingerprint, no one's is the same. You know, nobody has the same fingerprint at all. So even though some of us may share certain strengths, all of us are unique. All of us have individual specific purpose that's only unlocked by the Spirit of God. Now you can have those talents, and those talents can be used by the world, but God is the one that activates and divinely empowers those gifts that he's put in you. And there's something specific for you. There's something specific for you. There's something specific for me that the Father has for the purpose and the reason that we're still here in the earth. If it wasn't the case, then there would be no reason for us to still be here. Because, you know, that it's everything's done, good, cool, time for me to go. So there's a reason that God has us still here. Even like Jesus, when Jesus was in the world, you know, nobody could take his life from him. He laid it down of his own accord. He picked the time, he picked the place, and then he said, now I'm going to go. You know, now's my time. You know, now I got to go. Now I got to get to Jerusalem. Now's the time for all these things to be fulfilled. There's an amazing, amazing precision to the death that he died on the cross and everything that was surrounding that, in overlap with even the precedent set with the Jewish Passover and the lamb and the blood that had to be shed for death to pass over those houses. And all of that, there's incredible overlap. So it's a good thing to go back sometime and read, you know, the story of Passover in Exodus, and then how that then affects also with Jesus too, you know, with the crucifixion. Because, I mean, it was the same time too, the whole Passover celebration. So he is the Passover lamb, and the blood that was necessary to be applied to the doorpost of your heart. So, and again, the the life, and this is something you've heard on Sundays, but the life of the flesh is in the blood. The life of the blood is in the spirit. The life of the spirit is in the name. So when the name of Jesus Christ is applied to anyone's life, that name then covers, the name of the spirit, that power that's in that covers the life and covers the person. So you now are covered and made clean, made new. But that is covered and done with because of him. So death passes over you. You don't taste a second death. You know, you appoint it, but you don't. So we have an amazing hope in that. So But for us now too, you're here, you're in this world. Now, you know, eyes are getting open. You begin to see what's going on. You're like, okay, wow, wait a second. I'm here in this seemingly just, you know, world system, which the world system, which is a toilet, you know, in the midst of this beautiful creation that God's made. I mean, you look at the ocean, you look at the trees, you look at all that aspect of what God has made is just phenomenal. But then you have this just horrendous, hideous system of fallen demonic forces working through people that have given themselves over to it, and you see how those ones operate as well, and you're like, okay, now you're here, we're in the world, we're not of it. How then do we live and operate in this thing and around this thing? Because you're still here, you know, and God's got a purpose for you being here. Well, one thing that's good to understand is, okay, your goal is not to succeed in the world. My goal is not to succeed in the world. Whether you have what might appear to others as some sort of worldly success or not, that's never the goal. That's never the objective. The goal is first and foremost to walk with Christ Jesus, to walk with the Spirit of God in obedience and in connection with Him. And obedience is, you're successful in that when you obey, that's enough. The results then are in His hands and in His care, because He knows what He's doing with you. And part of what He's working with us too as well is for us to have an understanding of His love, His care, His redemption and the value of it. So when we come through this whole thing, when we come through this whole experience, now we have a realization of like, wow, you know, what He saved us from. I mean, just think about it. You know, if He didn't save us, even in this country that we live in here, think about the kind of stuff that people strive for here that are locked into that world system, and what their life and what their reality is, and what a pathetic existence that they live. If you succeed in the world system, you're king of the rat hill for a very short period of time before somebody else comes and claws you down and then goes and takes your spot. I mean, the world is not a friendly place at all. It eats and devours its own. I mean, think about it. How many people, just go back 5 years in your own memory, how many people in the world system that were something back then, today are, you know, destitute on the side of the road. 10 years ago, 15 years, the name of the wicked rot in the grave. Many times before they even get there, they're already rotting. Whereas the God's people, you know, there's a life and an empowering there. There's value to their lives. Even after they die, there's value to their lives. I mean, think of how many people, God's people, that their lives were actually more powerful in death than they were even in the time that they were living. You know, there are people whose lives in death had an amazing impact, even far more than when they were alive. An example from America would be like Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., you know, where the civil rights leader, where his death galvanized, and he was powerful, more powerful even having in death than he was in the life that he lived. I mean, Jesus being the ultimate example, you know, Jesus through, I mean, the ultimate example of, you know, and then, you know, also being the firstborn of the resurrection, but Jesus in death being, you know, doing far more in that one thing than, you know, all the years of ministry that he did. Because, you know, now it's like, okay, we become part of the whole priesthood of all believers. We become now part of, you know, now the way is made through that for all of us to enter through to the kingdom of God. So, so now last time we talked to, and we've touched on some of the stuff from before as well, but the prison cell that you live in right now, that the world, the people in the world live in, it's a battle for your mind, it's also a battle for your free will. So, I mean, the battle for your mind, I mean, just even here in this country, you know, with the recent attacks on the free media and the press in this country and all the things that have happened there, I mean, you see here even the push locally to silence any voice that would put out anything that maybe is counter, a voice of dissent or something that would be, so that's not towing the party line, not along the lines of, so like when they attack Chev's TV station, you know, and then the attack on the Sunday leader and all that. But all these things, when the battle being, you know, it's like, okay, what are you left with after something like that happens? Well, people that are afraid, and people that are afraid to take a stand, then what do they do? Well, okay, then they toe the party line. They don't stick out too much. They maybe say something, but they don't really put it out there. You know, they might be in the side, they'll be like, oh, well, you know, this is not good or whatever. But they won't say anything openly. So then, gradually, people say, okay, if you want to live, if you want your little cell block space, you know, you don't want anybody messing with you too much, this is what you'll say, this is what you'll do, and you'll play ball. So how many people do that? And then eventually they turn a blind eye to all the injustices and all the things that happen, and eventually, as long as it's not them.
It's amazing how those two incidents have created so much of paranoia in people's heads that they're even afraid to talk out. They're like, are there police people around? You know, we don't want to be talking.
No. I mean, it's amazing because, you know, here's the other thing too. If you are, I mean, it does call for some wisdom and some discretion. Yes, you know, and we don't. But you know, but the thing is too, is that God's people, we're bold about the truth as well. And you know, we see, here's when you've been set free in Christ Jesus, there's a boldness that comes in your spirit to just speak the truth, because also you've died to this world already, and the life that you live now in this world is a life that's lived in Christ Jesus. So to live is Christ, to die is gain. So if I die, if somebody, you know, if God allows somebody to knock me off tomorrow, not a big deal, because for me, he blessed me. You know, for, I mean, that person, you know, I'm totally thrilled to check out. But, you know, for me to be here is about the purposes of God. Whereas here's what happens if somebody doesn't have that. If you haven't truly been brought into Christ and truly died to yourself and to this world, then is revealed in the fear and the paranoia and all these things that people now are coming out with, because they love their lives in this world and they're afraid. So now what happens? You know, they then live as slaves to their fear. They then live as slaves to their paranoia, you know, for the sake of, you know, their life here, or maybe their children or whatever, you know. And but it's like, okay, at what point, what's your point of limitation? You know, what's your point of, you know, how far are you willing to go with God in this whole thing? You know, this is something that people have to honestly before Him and let Him reveal and show. So you have to allow the Spirit of God to show you that. And if you say, whoa, God, this far and no further, but if you really want His purposes, then you have to take that before Him and say, Lord, I really want to be able to go the whole way with You, but, you know, this is where I'm stuck. You know, and if you're afraid, tell Him. If you're scared, tell Him. And just say, God, I don't want to be afraid. I want to speak the truth. I want to walk with You. I want to be somebody that boldly does what You have to do. Think about Elijah. I mean, there were some points where Elijah was afraid and Elijah was running for his life, but there's also points too, because he was human, he was a man just like us. There's also other points too where he boldly stood before these kings and said, and these guys are like, oh, you're the troublemaker, you're the guy that's not playing ball. And then Elijah speaks back to him like, I'm not the troublemaker, you're the troublemaker. You're the guy. So, you know, and it's not, we have opportunity. You know, God creates opportunity. You know, I mean, even with, you know, I mean, I remember after the soft games, you know, one thing that happened, God created opportunity. I gave a letter to the president. You know, God gave me a word for this guy. Gave it to him. You know, my part was just, God gives me a word, I put it down, and the opportunity is created, give it to his hand, he takes it. That's it. I've done what God told me to do. I don't know what happened with it after that. You know, that was up to this between. But on my part, I've done what I was supposed to. Now, if he read that thing and some white van shows up for me like a week later, that's, you know, that's between, that's up to God. But I'm still here. And for myself, you know, I know that I've, you know, done that part in that section. And see, here's the thing too, is when righteous people keep quiet, when righteous people, when the godly and even the people that are moderates, when they refuse to speak, what you're left with, and who is it that then comes forward, and who is it that then takes, takes control of what happens throughout countries and nations. So, you know, a lot of, and see here now, we're living in a time where a lot of people, because of fear, are going to be mastered by their fears, and because they're not, scriptures say that perfect love drives out all fear. So, if you have the love of God in your heart, and you have bowed your knee before Him, and He is allowed, again, back to Mark chapter 12. Verse 29, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment, and the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. If somebody has this love of God, total, complete love of God in their life and in their heart, they've bowed their knee before Him, and they've asked for that. Perfect love drives out all fear. So when you have the perfect love of God growing and manifesting and filling in your life, that love drives out the fear. And scriptures even say, look, don't fear the person that can kill your body, but fear him who can, after the body's dead, throw your soul into hell. You know, that's who you should really fear. So for me, I'm not afraid of, you know, these thugs with machine guns. I'm afraid of the living, I have a healthy fear of the living God that has control over all these things, and to Him I bow and to Him I serve. But for us, you know, it's interesting to watch how many people now, out of their fear and out of their, they will sit back and they will allow themselves to be further and further enslaved, further and further marginalized, just to the point of nothing, being reduced to nothing, in the midst of time and opportunity and space where their lives could really make an impact. And think about it too. You know, there's that line from Braveheart where he's about to be killed, and he says, all men die, not all men really live. I mean, do you remember? No, he's about to get executed, and so, and he's, you know, it's all the music playing in the background and everything like that, but it's true. I mean, it is true. You know, all men die, but not all men really live. And that, you know, Jesus came that we might have life, and that we might have it more abundantly. But how many people take that abundant life? How many people will accept what that is, what that costs too? Think about Jesus. He didn't live long. He lived 33 years in the world. I'm getting very close to that. You know, I'm not very far away from that. That's not too far away from me. Is it a crime to die, you know, at that age? No, if your life is full and abundant and you've walked with Christ, whereas it would be a total shame and a waste of a life if you lived to be 95, but the whole purpose of why you existed was never fulfilled. Because, again, you know, we go on from here into eternity. And so it's much, much more valuable to a person while you're here to get on God's page, to allow for the complete manifestation of the Spirit of God in and through your life, so that you can actually understand the reason that you were made and the reason that you exist in this world. God's purposes, God's plan, so that He can show you things. People get so bogged down with the temporal that they miss the eternal reality that's available to you right now. I mean, right now you can see eternity. Right now you can shift into another dimension. You don't have to wait for, you know, it's not something, you know, so far away. So, but what it takes is it takes love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. Put everything that you are into Him, and then out of that connection, then live your life in obedience to what He shows you. And that'll all, He'll also put that into service unto your neighbors, service unto to others. So then your life becomes a life of service to other people. Sharing, service, sacrifice. Those three from last Sunday as well. Okay, so the first one, which we're going through that one, but so how now do we live? Okay, and we glanced over a few of these last week, but no. First thing, live your life in connection. John 17, verse 3. John 17. This is a scripture we talked about a lot. Probably one of my favorite scriptures. John 17, verse 3. And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. Okay. So this is life eternal. This is eternal life. This is not sitting on some cloud somewhere playing a harp. This is life eternal, that they may know Thee, that you would be in a living connection and relationship with your Creator, with the God of this universe. And that way has been made with and through Christ Jesus, through the cross, through the blood, through the sacrifice that's been paid, through the application of His name to your life, to my life. Through Him, in Him we live and move and have our being. So through that name, we now have access to the Father. We can boldly come before Him as His sons, because we've been made that through Christ Jesus. So the first thing that we do is we choose, because that's been made available, to live our lives in connection with Him. So part of that connection is, and see, this is again, the kingdom is within. If you're connected, you're connected within. And so now it manifests from within out. So many times too, when somebody walks with the Spirit of God, you can tell there's something different about those people. But it's a connection that takes place within. So many people, what they do is, if they lack that connection within, they'll try to dress it up somehow, and they'll have external markings so that they can try to fool everybody. So they'll wear the special shirt, or the special collar, or the special robe, or the symbols that are associated with whatever religious observance that's people's bent, to try to indicate that they're some kind of a holy person. But the truth of it is, in the end, within, there's no connection. And one of the biggest blessings that we have in Christ is that nobody in the new covenant, is that nobody stands between us and the Father. You have no man, you have nobody that needs to mediate between you and God. Like the old covenant, we had to have a high priest that would go in. I mean, if you were a Jew too, you had to have a high priest that would go in and mediate between you and God. But now Christ Jesus has become our high priest. He's the priest in the order of Melchizedek, so he is the high priest. And he made the sacrifice with his own blood so that we now could we now have him as our priest making petition before the Father for us. So now we don't need, you and I do not need anybody to stand between us and God and tell us, you know, here's what God said. No, if you have the Father, if you bowed your knee before Christ Jesus, if you bow your knee before the Father, you've asked Christ Jesus to save you, to forgive you, to cleanse you, you've invited His Spirit to come in, you have now the Spirit of God within you that bears witness, where you will hear truth and it will resonate in your own heart to what the truth is that the Spirit of God is already showing you as well. So if somebody else speaks truth, it'll be like, wow, because that's something the Spirit of God is also speaking to you. So you speak with Him, He shows you, He speaks to you, you respond, you live your life in a living relationship and connection. Now the thing about sin, and we've talked about this before, let's flip back, Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59 and verse 2 says, but your iniquities have... verse 1, let's start there. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear. So, the thing about connection with God, and this is the thing also about sin, is that sin... and willful sin, deliberate sin, is something that puts a hindrance and a block between your and my ability to connect and to hear the voice of the Spirit of God. So it's like it muffles it, it makes it difficult, it puts a block, it puts a wall, and then all of a sudden you're just like, I can't hear. I go to pray and it's just blank. And so this is where repentance comes. Because see, the Father... the God that we serve is a holy God. The God that we serve is 100% absolutely radiant, beautiful, splendor, holy. Nothing in Him that's undefiled. So for us, we are made clean only through Christ Jesus. And that's, so we're made the righteousness of God in and through Christ Jesus. That's given there to us. But also now with that, you know, and now with that righteousness is there, what there comes as well in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, we get an empowering by the Spirit of God also to put to death everything in us that keeps us from walking with the Father. We get an empowering from Him so that if you don't want that in your life anymore, it doesn't have to be there anymore. If you want to be out of whatever it is that was holding you before, you don't have to have it anymore. You can be set free from that because He's given that to you in the empowering of His Holy Spirit. But you have to in your heart, and again, the kingdom is within, in honesty before the Father, in honesty before God, you have to, and I have to, before God, say, okay, Lord, you know, I like this sin, or I have this bent, or whatever it is, but... you know, and then maybe it inclines to my flesh, whatever it is, but I honestly want You more. I really do. Help me. Set me free from this thing and just enable me and quicken me so that I don't get stuck in this, because I want to walk with You. See, there's a blessing in it. Here, okay. Keep your finger there, or keep Mark as it's marked. Keep Mark marked, yes, and go to Romans 12. Romans, after the book of Acts. Okay. Romans 12. Now there's a blessing in walking connection. Verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Okay. So, present your bodies as living sacrifices, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So, your body being the temple of God, and you present your body to Him, and you allow for Him, by His Spirit, to work in you, to clean you up, to show things to you, to reveal things to you. Say, He says, so like as you're walking with Him, He loves you. He took you just as you came to Him. He, you know, there's no issue there. But then now while you're walking with Him, you're in relationship, you're in connection with Him, and then now He says, you know what, you know, this is something that, you know, I'm not happy with. And this isn't something that is not good for you, and I have something better for you. And then you come under conviction as well while you're in connection with Him, you're in relationship with Him, but now you come under conviction in your heart for something that you do or something that whatever it is. And so it's just like then you start saying, well, okay, this, I want this out. I don't want this there. Whatever it is, this is between you and Him. So I don't get stuck on this list of do's and don'ts with people. This is between you and the Father. This is your walk with Him, you know. And so out of that, He shows you some stuff. But there's a reason, too, that He's showing you. Because part of what He's showing you, first of all, it says, which is your reasonable service. This is the least we can do. You know, with all that He's done for us, the least that we can do is let Him completely have full reign in and through us, and giving our entire being over to Him. Again, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. You see how all these overlap. So, but verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Ah, there's a benefit in it. The benefit is, you know what the will of God is. You know right now what it is that God has for you. You know right now what it is that you need to do. You know right now what it is that needs to be done. You know how amazing that is in the world that you live in right now, where everybody's trying to figure out what the heck do we do? In this country, in this nation, in America, in Europe, in all these countries in the world where everybody's freaking out trying to figure out what do we do about XYZ, that you can know, if you live in connection with the Spirit of God the way that He is designed for us to be able to in this dispensation, if you live in connection with Him along those lines, that you can know exactly what to do and when to do it. I mean, that in and of itself, so every moment that you're in the earth can be a moment of purpose, can be a moment where, you know, you understand the will of God. See, how many people, I remember too, so many people back in college days and stuff, they were just like, you know, oh God, what's your will, what's your will, what's your will? Okay, you want to know? Well, okay, there's a couple prerequisites that God said. You want to know my will? Do you really want to know it? Well, okay, here, do this first. Well, I don't, you know, it's like they don't really want to know His will. They want to know His will without going through any of the things that God puts in His Word for how that is made manifest, how that's made known. So, for example, if somebody's not willing to align themselves with any of this, how are you going to hear? If that puts a block, how will you hear? How will you know? But if that block is moved out of the way and you're working with the Spirit of God, then you know, then you understand, and then you can move and act on it. See, the walk of faith is just one step of faith at a time. It's just one step of trust with God at a time. You take one step, then you take the next step, then you take the next step. It's just one step after another. And all of this is in connection with the Spirit of God, where He speaks, we hear, we listen, we walk with Him. Okay. So, how now do we live? First one, in connection. And that has to be something that is priority, that has to be something that is above all, where you and I say, all right, this is the most important aspect of the life that I live in this world. You know, whatever it is that I do, whatever it is that I'm about, this aspect of being in connection with the Spirit of God is the most important. That's why when He taught people to pray, it's like, okay, Think about the disciples' prayer, or what's called commonly the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6. The whole thing is about connecting up with the Father and living in a good connection with Him. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So you're coming in. God inhabits the praises of His people. So you're coming into a place of praise and worship, and in you, that environment's even being created when you're praising God like that. Father, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So you're now inviting the lordship of the Spirit of God in and through your life and around your life and around everything that you're about. Give us this day our daily bread. You're inviting His provision. You're inviting Him to also to provide and to be involved in every aspect of your life and every care that you have there too. This is their daily bread. Forgive us our sins. Back to this whole thing. As we forgive those who sin against us, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. It's all about, now this is eternal life. John 17:3, that they may know you, the one true living God. So it's all about, and your Son whom you send, Jesus Christ. So the whole thing is about connection, relationship, ongoing with the Spirit of God. So how now do we live? First thing, priority. Anyone who's going to walk with God in this life and in this world, live in connection. And the way that that begins is by somebody bowing their knee before the King of Kings and asking the Lord Jesus Christ to come into their heart. Come, come, come. If you're right. Cool. Okay. So, part two, how now do we live? First thing, in connection. Number two. Okay. B. Know your purpose. Okay. Acts 26. Oh, yeah. Okay. Verse 15 says, actually, let's go back to verse 14. And when we heard all, and when we were all falling, this is Paul talking, when we were all falling to the ground, talking about his conversion, I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Okay. Special focus on verse 16. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee. So that's the reason that Paul was brought from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God. And as he lived out his life, the remainder of his life in this world, he stayed true to that purpose. Even here, testifying before King Agrippa, he stayed true to the purpose for which God brought him out. So God didn't bring him out for Paul specifically to go start a Fortune 500 company. You know, Paul wasn't liberated from darkness to light to go be the next president. Paul was brought out for a specific purpose. And that purpose was manifest initially with the connection that he had with the Spirit of God. So the first thing, you begin with connection, and then out of that connection, God will reveal to you purpose. When he reveals the purpose to you, be true to the purpose that God calls you. Because in that purpose, and you walking out that purpose for which he has for you, you will find fulfillment. You will find an incredible satisfaction with what you do in this life. Now, it may not be something that the world will say, oh wow, this is the greatest thing. No, that's not your goal. Your goal is to obey the king, because we live in a kingdom under the dominion of a king. Your goal is to, in the theocracy that we live in, we don't live in a democracy, we don't live in a dictatorship, we live in a theocracy based on the words of a king, a benevolent king that loves us, that's also our father. But we, based on what he says, walk this thing out. So when he reveals your purpose, he reveals and shows these things to you. Now, how it manifests was all kinds of different things for Paul. But he had that core behind everything that he did. So, I mean, he still had things that he did. He was still a tent maker by profession. He would go to cities, he would work, he'd make tents, and he would support his ministry that way. But he was, but for him, he was, you know, that was a means to the purpose that God had put for him. So, I mean, even for myself, like, there's a number of things that I'm involved with, but that purpose that God has revealed to me, for me specifically, that I know about, the reason that he brought me from darkness into light, from the power of Satan unto God, that one for me, I know. And so knowing that, I strive to remain true to that being the core of what I do, and then everything else, as long as it's a manifestation of that, cool, no problem, we can go with it. So, but for yourself, each of us, it's something that is revealed to you by the Spirit of God. So, and when he shows that to you, be true to that. And you don't have to be afraid of it either, because see, here's the thing. This is again the difference between the world and the people of God. The people of God are people that trust him. And because we trust him, we have faith that also he does have the very best for you. So what he calls you into, I came that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly, John 10. So what he's calling you into with that purpose that he reveals to you is also an abundant life. But it comes on his terms. And so most people, what happens is, because when God reveals the purpose that he has for them, they start, it doesn't click and it won't match necessarily with what the world says fulfillment and purpose is wrapped up in. And so the world will be like, will poo-poo that idea, will say, well, what are you thinking? How can you possibly do that? But they're the ones that are bankrupt. If you follow what God reveals to you and what God shows to you, you find out in retrospect when you look back, wow, you know, this has been an amazing adventure, total purpose, total reason for existence being manifest in me actually walking this thing out. Why would I want anything different? So like the world would say, oh yeah, you know, you need to be a rock star. Well, only if the Spirit of God says, be a rock star. Sure, he could do that. He could say that. Now, it's going to be very difficult because by and large, those systems are controlled by worldly powers, just like most systems in this world, but God has a way of putting his people wherever he feels like it. But for people in the world that say, ah, because you're important if you're prominent, so okay, now you're prominent, you're out there. But how many of these people, we know enough of them among this group, that are empty and sad and lonely, and you know, their lives have been shipwrecked? Why? For what? You'd have been much better being a janitor if that was what God had for you. Because in that purpose, you know, you probably would have just had plenty of times of intimacy and walking with him, and he would speak to you there. So for each of us, the goal should be to live in connection and then also be true to the purpose that God reveals for you, for the purpose that he has for you. And that will... the manifestations of that will probably be in seasons as well. So there's always a, I mean, there's a wilderness experience, we've talked about that before. There's different phases and different things that God brings you through, but there's also a time of your showing. There's also a time where, like John the Baptist, you know, where after the preparation's done, now it's time for you to go forward and to prepare the way. You know, you don't spend your life completely in preparation for the entire thing. You know, there's a time where God activates everybody now, and it's like, now you're ready, now it's time to go. Even Jesus had his 30 years of prep, but then came the time for his showing. Now came the time for his 3.5 year ministry. So you have that. So that's why, too, it's important to get in step with what God's doing. Don't waste time. Don't waste don't waste the valuable time that you have right now. It's very valuable. I mean, everybody's worried about cash and gold and oil and all this. The most valuable resource in the entire world right now is your time. That's the most valuable resource that you have. So don't waste it. Use it wisely. Because you don't get back a single second in this world. You know, all of it is, every second that you're alive is one more second closer to you leaving this world to going on into an eternal state. So use the time wisely. Okay. So how now do we live? Okay, here's another one for us. Live simply. And within that, one thing I put here is know the difference between your needs and your wants. Philippians chapter 4. What? What's that look?
What you said just before we started, what was that?
Which is? No, they didn't.
What? What do you want?
Okay. You want to elaborate or you want to keep going? Okay. Philippians chapter 4, verse 10. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. So, okay. Verse 12. I know how both how to be abased and know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Okay. There's something really, really, really cool about the people of God that have obtain mastery in this area of life, that are not you can have an appreciation for things. Yeah, I have an appreciation for quality. You can have an appreciation for stuff, but when it's not a necessity, when it's not a need, when it's not a, when for yourself you're not bound by anything material, and whatever the situation is that life finds you in, because of the kingdom of God is within you, and there's been a thorough foundation laid there where you can be in very difficult situations physically, but spiritually, because you have that connection right, that you have mastered that secret of whatever the situation I'm in, I've learned contentment and joy in that situation. A great example of that in scriptures is Acts 16, where it's in the dungeon that these guys, you know, with their backs ripped open and their feet fastened in the stocks in the inner cell, in the middle of the night they're singing praises unto God. They've mastered the secret of, no matter what the situation that they're in, their connection with the Father is not contingent on their natural state. It's set basically where no matter what their situation that they're in, they have that connection regardless. So they're always open now to the power of heaven in their lives. But learn to live simply. And here's something too. See, the world, again, the world works to make slaves out of people. And one of the ways that it enslaves people is it enslaves them by their lusts. And lusts manifest in all kinds of different ways. But if you can be enslaved by those things, so it's like if you need certain things, if you have expectation for certain things, if certain things are allowed to become priority, you know, status symbols. I mean, if I've got enough time spent around advertising to know that it's like, I mean, a lot of that is a game that people play with people's minds. They create a perception around a brand, create a perception around a certain product or service, and then people believe that there's something inherent in that brand or service that may not necessarily be there, but because they've swallowed the advertising that goes with it, then, you know, now they need that thing. Whereas for God's people, it's like, okay, be practical. What do you really need? And if you can learn to live Well, one, especially in the time that you're in right now, if you can learn to live within your means, then also, two, an extension of that is then it's like now you have something to work with. But how many people lived well beyond their means, and then now, as everything reverses, it's like you're now a lifetime slave, where you can't ever get out of that. Now you've got to pay, and oh wait, you don't have a job, now you can't pay it. You see what I'm saying? So it's like, it's rather than living like that, learn to, because at some point you're going to have to pay. And at some point you're going to owe. So if you make 1,000, learn to live on 500. If you make 500, learn to live on 250. If you make 100,000, learn to live on 50. You know, it's like, but whatever it is that you make, learn to live within your means and learn to also live simply and know the difference between your needs and your wants. Because a lot of things that people think they need, they don't need, they want. A lot of things that people want, they find out later on they didn't need. Just check through your closet and you know I'm right. So, okay, alright. Okay. You know, it's easy. It's easy to happen. Okay, next one. B. Live, how now do we live? Live free. And this kind of bridges straight from the other one, but learn to live free. Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs is one of my favorite books. Love Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 22. And Proverbs 22, okay. Verse 1 says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. The rich and the poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. Wait a second. Seven. Verse 7. That is a 7. And the rich, verse 7 says, the rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. So back to the whole thing about finance and everything like that. The rich ruleth over the poor, the borrower is servant to the lender. When somebody borrows, you are now servant to the person that you borrowed from. Time and time and time and time again. So, and let's go John chapter 8. So that happens on a natural level. And John chapter 8 shows it happens on a physical and a spiritual level. John chapter 8 and verse 34 says, Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whoever committeth sin is servant of sin. So, is a servant of sin. So, basically, you know, and there's, for when somebody sins, they become, and willful sin especially, they become a servant to that, so they become indebted and enslaved to that thing. And then with somebody that is, in the natural, even when somebody puts themselves in a, you know, you're going to borrow? Okay, now you owe. With all of this stuff, the way is made in Christ Jesus for people to be free. There are natural principles and there are spiritual principles that are true whether you like them or not. They're true. And so what happens, and this is again for us to be practical about it, when you learn what those principles are, we apply them to our lives so that practically speaking, we can live the life that God intended for us to live here. So for example, God doesn't want and doesn't need any of His people living in debt. Why? There's no need for that. He'll show you, and He'll show you the way out. You know, He'll show you and reveal to you, here's the way out of that. But you then have to be willing to make those steps, those necessary steps, to bring yourself and bring your life into that position and learn to live that way. And then when it's flipped, when the table is flipped, when the script is flipped and you're out of that debt, you're out of that hole, now keep going the other way. Don't just live your life on par, but keep going the other way. Do you know how expensive interest is when you borrow? How expensive that interest is in a year, in 2 years, in 5 years, in 10 years? You know all these massive banks, when they're showing all these foreclosures of these massive banks around the world, you know none of those things got built without interest? You know where the interest came from? Yeah, it came from you. You paid for those things to be built around the world. Every one of these banks, I go to H&B often on the big towers, and that thing was built on people's interest. I think it's what, $5 billion is what they pay for, something like that. It's like $50 million.
It's all granite outside.
I know, it's a beautiful building. You paid for it. Good job.
And all the drinking we did as well.
Yeah. Okay. And okay. So basically, learn to live free. And here's something too. Check your heart. Be honest with God with this one again. Before the Father, let Him show and reveal to you where you are and what's going on with you. And you have to do this before Him. This is why too, when you pray, Jesus said, look, close the door behind you. This is not a show for everybody else. Get in a place where you can get before the Father and allow for your life just to be exposed before Him. And then when He reveals and shows things to you, adjust, move on, make change, and go forward from there. But God's people were designed to be free. And we would be designed to also be free from the control of this world system. Now, if we go into the world, though we're not of the world, but if we go into the world for something, we go there because the Father puts us in those situations. And usually when He'll put, always actually, when He puts you in those situations, it's for some kind of purpose that He has for you being involved there, nothing past that. So if we go into it, cool. Lord, what's the reason that I'm here? You know, a lot of times too, He'll put you in some situation because you're on a rescue mission. You're on a mission to go into, you're an ambassador. You're one that's somebody that speaks and shows light to others, because His light shines through you. So you are representatives of Christ in the earth right now, in a time when the world really, really needs to know that truth. So, yeah. He'll put you in those places. He'll put you in those situations. Now is not the time for the holy huddle. You know, now is the time for, you know, we come together, we get refreshed, we pray for one another, we encourage one another, but then we go back out. You know, you know, the Titanic is sinking. We have full access to the lifeboat, and we're, you know, you're the elite search and rescue team, and you're going in back onto the boat. And the purpose is to go grab people, because the lifeboat we have can take everybody if we can get them all, if everybody will wake up. But too many people are like, oh no, I bought a ticket for this boat and I'm here, and you know, they'll get it fixed. They said they'll fix it. They're doing a probe. It's like, okay, never mind. Okay. And how now do we live? I'll give you one last one and we'll stop there for this evening. But we be blessed to be a blessing. Genesis chapter 22. Genesis, you are blessed to be a blessing. Genesis chapter 22. And let's go verse 15. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, thou hast not withheld thine son, thine only son, that in blessing will I bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed, as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned his young. Okay. So God blessed Abraham, and in blessing Abraham, Abraham was made, and his seed was made a blessing to all the nations of the earth. And likewise, you know, I mean, Abraham's attributed to be like one of the father of the faith as such. And you are now a child of Abraham as well. You are blessed to be a blessing. I am blessed to be a blessing. We have the blessing of the Lord upon our lives. So we are blessed to be a blessing unto others. So realize that. You don't apologize for the blessing of God being on your life. You have it because you're a child of God. So I don't apologize for it being on my life. I don't have to make excuses for it. It's just a given that everything that I touch is blessed by God because I walk in connection with the Father. Because of the fact that I'm in step with life and in truth, the blessing of the Lord flows through my life, so what my hands touch is blessed. So likewise, for you, for me, you walk with the Spirit of God, you walk in connection with Him. The blessing of the Lord, the life of the Lord God flows through your life. So we don't apologize for that, but we just realize this is the reality of it. God has blessed you to make you a blessing unto the lives of other people. So He's put that in you. He's allows that to flow through you. Rivers of living water, not livers of living, rivers of living water flow through your life into the lives of others. So allow that to be, and just allow that and realize that's the reality that you live with. So, okay. So we will stop there for this evening. And since we're out of time. Let God deal with you and your propriety. Check out all the cats of notoriety and the variety of ways that they deal with the ills of society. Let it bring sobriety, let it make you fiery, cause it's gonna take more than a slice of apple pie. Once you realize that this sin and this symptom, and this lost souls and the things that tempt them, and in Jesus there's rest and redemption. You're covered by a Hebrews 4:1 pension. Not to mention, you learn your lesson. No more vexing, no more stressing, no more guessing, no more heaven and hell questions. No more just living for the blessing, no more dressing. Forget the ice and aggression. Not my wife, no caressing. I don't care if she's but equal, Australian or Texan. And you ain't scared to scream that to your whole section. I'm not living for this life, cause I'm living for the next one. Living for the next one. Living for the next one.